Good evening. Welcome to the Big Fight. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, the government has come out with a series of sweeping guidelines that regulate digital media in India like never before. It's called the Guidelines of Intermediaries and Digital Media Ethics Code. Sounds complicated. Believe me, there's a lot in there. Intermediaries means social media apps like Facebook and WhatsApp and Signal as well. It affects OTT platforms as well, like Netflix or Amazon Prime. And it impacts online digital news outlets too. Now the government, the goal the government says is to establish standards for communication across the media while ensuring that freedom of speech is protected. There are others though who believe that this is nothing but an effort to curb just that, our freedom to communicate and express ourselves in the way that we want. And the context, it must be remembered, are different for the different applications. So in the case of so-called intermediaries, the government wants the power to know who was the originator of a message. But how can that ever happen if communications on, say, WhatsApp and Signal are encrypted? For OTT platforms like Netflix, there will now be government oversight and strict guidelines on classifying programs. And ultimately, there'll be a big brother, a joint secretary in the government, who in instances will be allowed to remove content, even perhaps on news sites. So on the Big Fight tonight, do the sweeping regulations on digital media challenge privacy and the freedom of expression? We've got a wonderful panel tonight. I'm going to introduce them. The senior Supreme Court advocate Menaka Goraswamy with us. Shreya Singhal also with us. Hers was a landmark case of views important here. The BJP leader Tuhin Sinha. Abhishek Tripathi, he supports the BJP. Kazim Rizvi, the founding director of the Dialogue. And Mayank Tiwari, the Bollywood writer, will be with us as well. The first part of this program is called The First Punch, where we give all of our panelists 1 minute, right? 1 minute to state their views, and then I'll interrupt and we'll move to the next person. So let me start with you, Menaka. The first punch, your views. All right, we don't have Menaka just yet. We'll come back to her. Who do we have? All right. All right, let me first start with Kazim Rizvi. Kazim, your time, 1 minute, starts now. Go ahead.
Thanks, Vishnu. So I think there are three things which I want to highlight. One is that the state has legitimate need and interest to protect the security of the people. So definitely there is a need to regulate technology and technology companies in India. But in order to regulate big tech, are we hurting the rights of people? Are we sort of taking the rights away from the people? And that's the biggest question we have to identify today. There are three main points which I want to highlight. One is that looking at the intermediary platforms on traceability, digital signature would mean that end-to-end encryption has to be broken, and that could lead to severe security challenges for the country. Number two is that when it comes to social media verification, we are also looking at the fact that there could be discrimination for users who may not be verified, so anonymity on the internet could be under threat. And number three is that a couple of good things which of course are coming in, of course, is the fact that for CSAM, the government is saying that, you know, you should proactively monitor, and platforms are doing that. That's a good positive thing, but maybe that could have been a policy rather than a rulemaking process.
Okay, so I'll interrupt you there. You've gone through two of the three points. We'll come to the rest later. Menaka, 1 minute, your introductory comments. Your time starts now. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think these new rules greatly impinge on freedom of speech, expression, privacy, conscience, amongst other things. They will impact artistic freedom. They will impact freedom of press. So really, we have to be thoughtful about these new rules going forward.
Shreya Singhal, 1 minute you've got. Go ahead with your first opening comments in the first punch right now. Go ahead.
These rules, I completely agree with what Ms. Goraswamy said. And I just want to add that it's not just, the intermediaries or the platforms that we use where this information is published, but it goes back to the person itself. And that puts a big dent on how freely a person may speak over the internet, which has been a means and a medium which, you know, has facilitated speech, has facilitated dissent. So this will greatly impact that. And the fact that they put this entire stringent due diligence clause into these rules is, in fact, it's worrying. And, you know, everything is covered under Article 19.2, so you don't need more to regulate speech and expression.
All right. Tuhin Sinha, your first comments. The topic once again for our viewers: do the sweeping regulations on digital media challenge privacy and the freedom of expression? Tuhin, your time starts now.
Well, the vast increase in social media consumption in the last few years had also brought it to a position where it was a potential behemoth waiting to explode and a potential facilitator of a whole lot of unlawful activities. This is where the regulations were necessary. And I'm so glad that the regulations are the most, the soft touch regulatory mechanism puts the onus to a large extent on these intermediaries rather than on the government. So issues like mandating a chief compliance officer, self-certification are wonderful and exceptional steps, which would rather, I think, which would set a precedent for many other countries which have been struggling with digital media regulation. And India would provide a certain model which the world has been struggling for. At the same time, these regulations would ensure that there is a level playing field between new starters and, you know, a Facebook or an Instagram, which have crores and crores of followers. So I think it is one of the most balanced approach which one could have seen insofar as regulating OTTs were concerned.
All right. Abhishek Tripathi, the first punch, your first views. 1 minute, your time starts now.
I wholeheartedly welcome this move by the government of India and the in charge ministry. I think it was much needed and long awaited. I don't understand why there's a complaint, if at all there is. Like I said before, and I'll also go talk more about the OTT platform. I belong to the fraternity. So the three-tier mechanism to enforce the code of ethics for OTT, like the first one is the self-regulating system, will ask the platform to establish a grievance redressal mechanism. Then comes the self-regulatory body, which will be headed by a retired Supreme Court or a High Court judge. An appeal can be referred to this body if a person believes that their complaint has not been addressed. And then comes the oversight mechanism by the government. Will develop an interministerial committee to ensure there's a code of conduct being followed. So I think it's a very, very important, like I said, much awaited, and it'll make a whole lot of difference in the communication.
All
digitally.
Right. Mayank Tiwari joins us as well. Mayank, the topic is, do the sweeping regulations on digital media challenge privacy and the freedom of expression? This is called the first punch. You have 1 minute for your introductory remarks. After that, I'll interrupt. So your time starts now. Go ahead.
Thank you. Vishnu, at the outset, I would like to say that this is an incitement to outrage. It does not matter what is the complaint. It does not matter who is complaining, how many complaints are there. Fundamentally, that is the issue point number one, which I would like to outset say. Second is that beyond all of these structures of rules, something very fundamental has happened. The government now has the authority to block what it likes. After a certain level has been reached, be it the OTT platforms or be it the intermediaries. In the past, Twitter had the power to block somebody. The government did not have that power. Something on Amazon Prime, the government does not like, they could not block it. But now with these regulations, that power has come to them. The system is going to get overwhelmed with complaints, and we are actually celebrating outrage if we see the context and the timing of this move.
All right. So your first comments over there. I'm going to go across now and start up the debate, the big fight. Menika, let me come to you first. It just seems that when you look at some of the conditions over here and what they actually say is problematic on social media, the question I'm asking is how do you define what is, for example, obscene? How do you define something which is insulting? How do you define something which apparently invades privacy, is scandalous, is potentially libelous? Who defines these words? Because we know what social media is all about.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question, Vishnu, and no one is contesting the need for some regulation. What we are contesting is this overreach, overbroad. Here, either you will get an order from a court or you will get an order from a competent governmental authority, which is a non-judge, a non-judicial forum. And this forum will then decide whether something is against public order, whether something is, well, as you said, defamatory, obscene, or in in some cases, you know, which impacts the rights of children, which no one has an issue with. The issue here is that the executive, the bureaucracy, and the government is going to adjudicate over what should be encrypted, what should be not, is going to get to the originator of an encrypted message, a private communication, say between you and me. And importantly, likewise, the oversight mechanism which is supposed to oversee digital news, as well as, this is what's interesting, OTT, so Amazon Prime, Netflix, and digital news forums like Quint or Scroll or The Wire, which is really the press, will all have the same oversight mechanism. The ministry, which is an interdepartmental committee of the ministry, will be that oversight mechanism. The individual grievance officer is only the first and most basic level.
Yep.
How can the press and entertainment forums be regulated by the same oversight mechanism which answers to the executive? Where is their separation of powers? Okay. Where is their freedom of press? Where is their artistic freedom? I mean, this is a conflation of all speech in the country. It is a violation of separation of powers as envisaged by the Constitution, and it will impinge on any ability to either express yourself artistically or hold the government to account as press.
Okay.
We have never seen this conflation in the history of India before.
Abhishek Tripathi, how would you respond to that? That there is just no distancing. It's the government which decides what is on and what is off. Literally, they can pull content. Why should the government be doing this?
See, in the recent past, not long back, we have seen so many of content which is coming and there was a lot of objection being created, and there's a lot been cases which has been filed in different courts in India. Very recently, yesterday, Allahabad High Court dismissed the plea for the anticipatory bail of a creative head of a certain OTT platform. So I think there is a need, to at least adjudicate. See that every of these content is correct. Particularly, I'll talk about broadcast contents. That this happens in the right direction, and anything which is not needed. When I say not needed, it means anything which is if you want to attack a certain religion, I don't think that should be welcome. And always back to back, if one particular religion gets attacked by something on the basis of saying that this is a creative liberty and we are doing something creative, I don't think this is correct. There has to be some kind of some authority somewhere to regulate that what is happening right now. There has to be a judge somewhere which can and also the OTT platforms have to.
There will always be a situation when somebody is upset with something or the other. And the question is that what is the threshold of acceptance? Are we going to push it
very simple,
or are we going to be liberal in our thinking to allow dissent, disagreement, and whatever the topic may be? What's wrong with that?
See, if you go in particularly the OTT platform, have to self-classify the content into 5 age-based categories.
Sure.
I don't think there's
anything
wrong.
No, but I'm asking you about
it.
The content specifically. You've raised an important point, and I'm trying to understand why should one cut down on content? Why not allow discourse to take place? Why not allow debate and the expression of whatever it is, whether it's religion or anything else? If it doesn't cause violence and it causes debate, what's wrong with it?
If I quote a judgment that the judge passed recently, it says such people make the revered figure of religion of majority community, which makes source of earning money. It leads into source of earning money. I think what he said by denying an anticipatory bail to a creative head of a OTT platform, he is very clearly and categorically justified that what is happening is not correct, and you are targeting a majority community, and particularly one community.
Majority.
Every now and then,
The majority religion is that what you're suggesting?
I am quoting what has been written down in a judgment.
All right.
And
I'm
saying
read
that,
parts of that.
So and that makes it a source of earning money. I think that's not creative.
All right. Mayank, would you like to respond to that? That you cannot be making money off your views on a religion.
So then one should not be able to make money about their views on anything. I mean, after hearing Abhishek, these kind of views have always existed. The point was that now they are given a state apparatus to operate. Now I completely understand where people are coming from when they say it's a positive move. But Do we not see what are the ramifications of this? Somebody can just wake up one day and say, I have a problem. And then he can get 15 other people and say, we all have a problem. Then they go to the grievance redressal officer at the OTT platform. Over there, he dismisses the complaint. They appeal higher. They are dismissed, they appeal higher. Where does this stop? Anybody can get outraged. So this is something we all need to collectively think about. Majority religion, minority community, these kind of, they have always been there, but now they have been given state sanction.
So what does this mean for you, Mayank, as a writer in Bollywood? After seeing these rules, I mean, you've written a lot of edgy stuff. Will you stop doing that because you feel somebody might come after you?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to stop writing what I write. But, you know, the bug doesn't stop with me when it comes to filmmaking.
Correct.
I'm one of the departments involved. But what I do feel is that everywhere there is going to be a sense of paranoia. And, you know, people, the words that are being used today are self-control, self-discipline, you know, watch yourself. You know, there needs to be a higher authority. We need to listen to somebody. So these kind of words induce a sort of a paranoia on the kind of work that people do. People get scared. They don't push the envelope. And if any time, any kind of fault line in the society, which is across the board in so many areas, if you focus on any fault line, somebody will get offended. If I'm going to talk about caste, somebody is going to get offended. If I'm going to talk about gender, somebody is going to get offended. If I'm going to talk about sexuality, somebody is going to get offended. Should I not write? Should I not make that content? Who decides? And what was there, what was not present in the existing rules that they had to bring in?
All right.
This is something which is not clear.
All right, Tuhin, just, you know, what Mayank says is what I was asking earlier on. There will always be somebody who is offended. And the fact that you've got these grievance redressal mechanisms means there is a constant process of challenge, challenge, challenge. At the end of the day, the filmmaker will be wondering whether he or she can actually say anything at all.
Vishnu, there is a difference between a creative medium encouraging debate and discourse and one which, you know, pointedly denigrates or mocks a certain religion. It could be any religion. But in India, the trend had been, you know, to mock one particular religion, which was indicated also in the judgment of the Allahabad.
But how is this about religion?
You know, let us go beyond that.
Why only focus on religion? I mean, it's about anything.
So
he's given 10 examples. He's spoken about sexuality, he's spoken about...
I agree. I'm taking the discussion beyond. I'm giving you one example. Most of the new shows on OTT that you see, whether it is a scam or whether it is a family man, without there being any necessity, there is a surfeit of galis, and I know a vast population which is very uncomfortable watching it with a family member.
And galis are not part of the way people communicate in our country?
No, what are you trying to say? That
I'm trying to say that this is the way of life. You will not be able to stay 5 minutes outside my office, without hearing somebody abusing. We abuse, that's the way we are. If that reality is captured on film, what's wrong with it? We are in denial. We will abuse, but if we see it in film, we'll say it is very bad.
Every 8-year-old, every show should have that. Without necessity, every 8-year-old should be exposed to that language.
That's an important point.
Is that the language which India, which you and I generally speak on this show? That's how normal you make it look.
No, so that's an interesting point. Menika, would you like to respond to that? That on an OTT platform, you've got an 8-year-old child watching, and what use is there if you label it and say this should be watched by somebody who's an adult? A child is watching it, there is no way of controlling it. There is, but people may not put parental safeguards or whatever.
You know, the reality is that you can always classify, which the rules also provide for. You can classify it by age, and no one is denying the need to classify by age. But the reality is that you have been discussing an Allahabad court judgment, which in fact shows that you already have a redressal mechanism, the court system. You have trained judges who will respond to your complaints. You have the 2009 Information Technology Act Amendment. You have these mechanisms in place. Those mechanisms ensured that the courts would have a voice. What you are now doing is you are taking away the judiciary's voice and you are replacing it with an interdepartmental committee, or you're replacing it with a competent state authority when it comes to social media platforms like WhatsApp or Signal or whatever it is. That's the issue here with these rules. No one denies the need to regulate. What you have to do is you have to regulate in consonance with the Constitution. I mean, you know, I think it's laughable that we're having a conversation on the need to regulate bad language. I mean, if that were the case, you would just stop at classifying cereals by age appropriateness. That's not what you're doing. You're sending the press to an interdepartmental committee. You're sending cereal content to an interdepartmental committee. You are sending private communication to be decrypted, the originator of that conversation. You are not worried about abuse. You are worried about thought. Mm-hmm. You are worried about opinion. That is what you're worried about.
Okay. Kazim, would you like to come in on that point, that this isn't really about content. It's about thought, how people think. And there need to be curbs on the way on what is correct thinking and what is incorrect thinking. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I just want to sort of add one point which I think has been missed out, is the fact that the OTT platforms work on a pull versus push sort of a content. So OTT platforms are a pull-based content, right? So you allow private viewing. If I want to watch a episode, I go and watch it in the night and it's available to me. It's not broadcasted like how it used to be 20 years ago on a certain TV channels, which was available for all, which was pushed from a source. So I think that distinction has to be understood. And the regulations have to understand that this, they have to allow private viewing. Otherwise, you're looking at an ecosystem where I think Menika just highly pointed out that you are sort of trying to have thought control. Now, another point which I think is important here to be understood is the fact that a lot of specific laws, we are looking at IPC, we are looking at a constitution, there are already existing laws and mechanisms which allow for a judicial check, and a government can step in and say, okay, this should not be viewed, or they can go to the court to have an extra oversight, both without an appellate authority or a judicial oversight. Is challenging because it's all about executive and it's not about government today or government tomorrow. Any government could be sort of prone to misusing it. So I think we have to be very careful in terms of creating these mechanisms in place, because we already have the current mechanisms and those mechanisms work well at this stage because there is already a separation of powers.
Shreya, you know, if you go through the document, there are multiple references to how this is designed to protect the unity, integrity, defense, security, and sovereignty of India, and also friendly relations with foreign states, public order. Why does everything have to come under, be subsumed under this larger national security perspective? Why can't national security itself be questioned, right? On news, for example, or on programs. What's wrong with raising questions? Because it just seems to a lot of people that if you label something and put it under the, you know, I mean, put national security as an overriding concern, then anything and everything can be shut down.
See, I feel that that is really the point of this. The thing is that what you just said, that is what 19.2 is, Article 19.2 and the reasonable restrictions. Those reasonable restrictions have in turn been interpreted extensively by the courts in India to have very narrow meanings. Law and order, or it cannot be construed as an umbrella provision to stop speech. That's the point. And the other thing is, and especially with respect to OTT, you don't like something, change the channel, change the movie. You don't have to watch it. If it's too abusive for you, don't watch it. If you know, I mean, 8-year-olds, yes, okay, maybe we should have the concept of a watershed where before 10 p.m. you will have age-appropriate programming. But what is the difference then between what is being shown on cable TV versus what is on, say, an OTT like Amazon or Amazon Prime or Netflix? There is no difference, right? So if you're not going to have those regulations in the real life, then why do you need them only on the internet? And the other thing is that the fact is that this review, that the review mechanism, or the due diligence that they wish to do with this is nothing but a cover for storing your data. For, you know, they use words like automated tools to proactively identify content, to have your information stored for 180 days. This is not something that is covered under 19.2. Mm-hmm. It can't be in the way it is. It is all pervasive to stop speech, to stop dissent. And I'll give you an example. I'm on Skype in my house today. So what if someone thinks what I'm saying is not right as per these new rules? They find it annoying. They can lodge a complaint saying that, hello, this program is being done on Skype, so it should, you know, I'm lodging a complaint under these rules.
Yeah, if you were to have a Zoom call with six people, right, and somebody has a problem with what you said, they could shut it down. Tuhin, would you like to come in on that? That it doesn't make sense because it's just sort of designed to stop conversations, and that's what we are trying to do to encourage conversations in our country. Why be offended like this?
No, there are two points which I heard during the discussion, that any which way you have a legal mechanism which is going on the court cases, but that is precisely the point. When you have a compliance officer, the idea is to put the thrust on the OTT and to, you know, possibly end the multiplicity of the cases which get filed across the country. So I think when you we are trying to actually reduce the multiplicity of, you know, somebody filing a case in Allahabad, somebody filing a case in Cochin or wherever. And these processes are meant to ensure that.
But there used to be self-regulation.
It is also a fact. Secondly, let me just say, secondly, it is a fact. We know for a fact that intermediaries had begun to, you know, in some cases act as publishers. Mm-hmm. And given the fact that, you know, today everything happens on social media, the consumption has increased manifold, you can't deny the fact that it is also a conduit and a possible, catalyst for crimes, some of which involve national security. If certain decisions are taken, keeping that in mind, I don't think, I'll give you a small example. There are so many Twitter accounts which the government had asked to be blocked. Do you know of any genuine Indian account which has been blocked? I'm sure
the Indian
should have done investigation.
The caravan was blocked.
Most of these accounts,
the caravan was blocked.
Accounts are bots which will
in
no,
fact,
no
in fact, take. Even Prasar Bharati's own account was blocked.
Yes.
The head of Prasar Bharati, and that was problematic. So it works both ways.
So they had inadvertently done that. But I'm saying that of the list which the government had asked Twitter to block, do you know of any genuine Indian account which has been blocked?
Isn't Caravan an Indian publication?
Sorry?
Isn't Caravan an Indian publication, an Indian media?
Well, I'm sure it must
right,
have been
so therefore, why block that? Why block that thought?
So if the basis of that was a certain fake news, I'm sure one top journalist, who does a prime time program also had to sit out for 15 days because of regular fake news peddling. So fake news somewhere needs to be penalized.
Well, there are lots of debates on whether that was fake news or not, but that's a separate debate. I need to take a short break. We'll come back with this in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're watching The Big Fight. Do the sweeping regulations on digital media challenge privacy and freedom of expression? Before the break, Tuhin actually made a point asking, were there any legit Indian accounts which the government or law enforcement authorities had wanted shut down? Well, I have a list of them. Caravan, as I mentioned, the political commentator Sanjukta Basu, the activist Hansraj Meena, the actor Sushant Singh, Shashi Shekhar Vempati, the chief executive of the state-run Prasar Bharati, the accounts of at least two politicians with the Aam Aadmi Party, the Kisan Ekta Morcha as well. Now, we've seen what the court had to say in the Disha Ravi case as far as the application of sedition is concerned. But the point is, this is what people are worried about, Tuhin. You know, that
no,
people...
But, you know, I'm sure the seven or eight names that you mentioned were based upon certain peddling of, tweets and certain peddling of information which were highly contrary to what things were. It was part of a bigger campaign during those days. If you ask the government today, apart from that one instance where when the toolkit had come out and where a whole lot of Sushant Singh, the guy, he's a friend of mine, I know, but then people at times get carried away, and I believe he had peddled some information, some tweets which were highly untrue and which were fake information. So if based on that,
why not take legal action without shutting down people just like that? How do you assume that information which is disseminated in a changing news scenario means that a person is a perpetual liar?
You have seen what happened on 26th January. The government had given these people long rope based on trust. But if that trust was breached, and on a day as auspicious as 26th January, somewhere the government had to pull up its socks, and the government had to act. Now, I am telling you once again, what was the alternative to the soft touch regulatory mechanism which the government has brought in? A censor board, a separate censor board. In fact, the government has actually given more freedom by not going in for a separate statutory authority in this case.
Okay. All right. Menika, would you like to respond? Menika, would you like to respond to that? That given what we saw on Republic Day, the action taken against Twitter accounts
it's really quite sad, right? You have this extraordinary change of the legal terrain in how we will express ourselves in this country and how the press will function. You know, this kind of legal mechanism has been passed without any sort of conversation in Parliament, without calling in stakeholders, without consulting with platforms, without consulting with experts. This has been a unilateral exercise of power. It is exactly how legislation and delegated legislation must not be made. You know, we are not a constitutional democracy only because people go to vote. We are a constitutional democracy because there are multiple institutions that are expected to be involved when you change a legal paradigm, including Parliament. Parliament was hardly convened last year. I think it was under 70 days in the year. You compare it to, say, Brazil or even the United States, both hit very badly by COVID, which met either virtually or physically for over 140 days each of those in the past. You have not convened Parliament. You have passed this along with other legislation in this way, in this unilateral way. And then we are expected to believe that this is really about bad language on Amazon Prime.
All right. I wanted to move to another part of this debate on the entire issue of encryption. Now, Abhishek, if you and I were to have a conversation and we shared certain jokes which people may not have liked, and then I forwarded your joke or you forwarded my joke and it went around, would it be correct for the police to come after the originator of that message? Firstly, in a private conversation. And secondly, how exactly would that even be possible if our conversation is technically encrypted? It's not supposed to be available to anybody.
See, if social media sites have to disclose the first originator
right.
of any mischievous message, who began the mischief, you know? So then adding to that is that this would apply for spreading content for which the punishment is up to 5 years is what has been given. I don't understand where is the problem in this. I mean, why should a person who started something, you know, from where it originated, if the person gets caught in any way, I do not see any problem in that. If the social media giant would require to appoint Indian-based, you know, compliant officers, which will remove the content, or for that matter, like I said, the first originator of the message that you just said that we are having a chat or joke or whatever, you know, I think it is important to reach to the bottom of the problem. So it's. I think it's mandatory and also it's much needed.
Twin, how exactly does the government propose to break into encrypted technology?
Vishnu, I'll give you a small example. We have seen instances where videos in Myanmar, recorded in Myanmar of Muslims being killed, have been floated in India and presented as some incident happening in some part of Bengal or India.
Right.
Don't you think that is an extremely explosive video which
Absolutely.
Can lead to riots, which
Absolutely.
Can lead to killings? So in that situation, why should anybody have a problem with the originator of that video being booked?
No, I'm just asking you. I take that point because people have lost their lives in our country because of fake
Absolutely.
News spread on WhatsApp. No doubt about that. There were several such cases. But I'm asking a basic question. My basic question is this. Does this mean that WhatsApp as we know it will disappear? Signal as we know it will disappear? Telegraph will disappear, right? Because they are based on encryption. How will we communicate in a modern society?
A lot of the discussions which happened today are on speculative what-ifs. I can tell you for a fact that 10 years down the line, I'll be on your same channel and WhatsApp will very much be as robust. There will be, apart from Telegram, probably there will be five other similar platforms. In fact, that is what these regulations have done. They have created a level playing field. You'll find no new players coming into the market and competing with the bigger players. So probably 5 years down the line, when I come on your channel, you'll find five other players as big as Telegram and WhatsApp.
All encrypted, right? Because nobody wants their conversations to be heard.
Well, I think, you know, it's in the realm of speculation that you're being watched all the time. That's not the case, really.
Mayanka, how do you balance what he's saying? Because I think Twin had a valid point when he said that there is fake news on WhatsApp. The system needs to have the ability to get to the bottom of this fake news. In many instances, people have lost their lives. For example, a few years back on WhatsApp, there was that entire thing about people being told that their children were going to be kidnapped. Messages were spreading all over the place. People who were going, were sitting on a picnic, were seen to be potential kidnappers and they were lynched over there. These are all facts. So that is a valid concern. And yet we want our privacy as well. And we want encrypted communications. In a situation like this, isn't the government justified?
See, government finds a way to justify. But I want to ask you something. The practical implication, which a lot of analysts are saying is speculative thinking, is to take a recent example, is who retweeted Rihanna's tweet first. That is what it boils down to in the present context. The second thing about these videos, the people who are going to make mischief are going to go darker, are going to go deeper. Their intention is to create problems and they are going to find a way. Similarly, for all the kinds of censorship that we have been talking about, people will find a way to watch content. The fundamental nature of internet is such that it allows for people to do what, to operate freely. And it is very difficult to curb that. But break, I mean, this is what I said at the beginning. This is the government's way to actuate, to take control over the content. They have always had a problem with tech companies not sharing data with them, the kind of data the government wants. And now this is a way to get that data. And okay, all these, nobody will be able to tell us how my WhatsApp and your WhatsApp is actually working for them to break it into it. Nobody will be able to explain it. It's complicated technology. How will the government store those messages? How will it? They have not thought this through. But they're going ahead with it and we're defending it. Ultimately, it boils down, it takes away power from a simple Twitter user. A girl tweets something, her friends don't like it, they can complain about it. It has to be acted upon in the next 24 hours. You have to tell me what have you done about my complaint. This is the system. So it's not speculative thinking, but let's be practical. There is enough evidence about how the government is operating. It's not like this is people have dreamt up these scenarios. These are happening to common citizens.
Shreya, the tech giants will have to appoint grievance officers. They will have to appoint a chief compliance officer as well. They have to appoint a nodal contact person for contact 24/7 with law enforcement agencies. Is this again something which you believe throws aside in a sense what you had fought for in your particular case, where you will have a scenario where tech giants are harangued with a million complaints on anything and everything, and there is, seems to be the power of the law, and they are forced to comply?
Yes, I totally think so. I mean, these rules are going back to a 66A era, unfortunately, and it's a much quicker turnaround time with respect to, you know, dealing with the so-called complaints that people might have. And I feel that, you know, by making these rules and implementing these rules, you are actually creating a more hostile and explosive environment on the internet where people are going to be put to very big extremes mentally and emotionally as to whether they can say something or not. And that is not fair. And at the end of the day, I do, a lot of the social media platforms already have grievance mechanisms and redressal mechanisms. It's similar to, you know, rights reserved to entering a restaurant. There are community terms and policies that you have to adhere to. And I think Facebook already has an oversight, an international oversight board in action. Presently, you know, they are functioning. So at the end of the day, when there is already a self-regulating mechanism on social media, and the biggest mechanism to regulate the internet is self-regulation by yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel that, you know, it is very high-handed for the government to come out like this, make these rules, when they are, in fact, I would say, guilty of breaching a lot of them themselves.
Yeah.
So they have to look inwards before trying to completely put in jail their citizenry and to stop a democracy in its tracks.
Menika, is this, in a sense, a recognition that self-regulation in our country doesn't work? We aren't talking about television media in this country, but in this context, but it's not worked at one level in television journalism in India. There is no self-regulation, which is why we are the mess that we are in. Similarly, when it comes to, say, news media and what they actually put out, in many instances, it's the same problem, right? That there is no self-regulation. And therefore, that's a problem which the government says they need to address.
See, Vishnu, there's no denying that you need regulation, right? There's no denying at all. But you have to see this in the context in which these new rules have been brought in. You do not have an independent data protection act in India. You and I have no right by statute to our own information. So we do not have an independent data protection law in this country. There's a bill that's pending, right? The second thing is you have, you know, in the 2009 amendment, you have ways to request decryption and encryption codes when necessary, say in the interest of national security. The government could have triggered that. It has triggered that in the past. Most takedown requests to, say, a body like Facebook, actually three-fourths of them globally, come from the governments of India and Turkey. Mm-hmm. So it is not like the government has not been using the redressal mechanisms that exist. I am saying that without parliamentary conversation, without taking stakeholders into account, without a law that protects your right to your own data, with the IPC as it exists, you did not need to then substitute the judgment of courts with the judgment of the bureaucracy and the judgment of the executive. It is about what is the rationale of the law, what is the objective of the law, is it disproportionate, does it impinge on constitutional and fundamental rights, and is it necessary? These are all the tests of constitutionality. In my opinion, none of these are met.
Abhishek, is this not something that's going to wind up back in court? It just seems that legally, constitutionally, there are lots of loopholes in what the government has done now. Do you not get the sense that various aspects of this are bound to be challenged?
See, this is something which is only the time will tell. That's all I can say. But a rule that bars social media content, that is defamatory, that is obscene, you know, that is racist, that is harmful to minors, you know, threatening the unity, threatening the integrity, you know, a whole lot of other things, like including the children's and all of that. I think it was much needed is all I can say right now. What will happen later on in the court of law, the time will only see. But yes, this was much needed. I think all these factors needed to be taken care of in terms of the threat that social media, digital creators, the so-called creative people who are involved in making it, I think it is about time they abide by the law. And see, anything was happening right now over the period of like 2-3 years that we have seen this kind of content mushrooming, right, which was always hurting somebody's sentiment. Right. Now, if there's a debate that somebody will always stand up to, you know, question your creativity, I don't think that is something which one should question.
Unfortunately, the problem is there will always be sentiments which are hurt. As a large democracy where we like to talk and like to express ourselves,
exactly what I want to say, that there is so much of
express and
there is so much of creativity.
Something else if we don't like
Vishnu,
it.
There is so much of creativity beyond these topics that we can always cater to and we can always get into in terms of making our
films. I think the
worry
is that this is all topics we have been subsumed under what some people would like you to see or hear and what some people would not like to see, you to see or
also,
to hear. I think that's what
clearly Abhishek has a hierarchy of preferred creativity. That's the problem. The Constitution does not.
All right. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Out of time on the big fight tonight. But let's see where this all goes. The ramifications are absolutely huge. But even implementing these laws, it's going to be extremely difficult for all sorts of reasons. Time now for us to take this short break.